This is a very important subject. And as the last session, I have an acronym called Fellowship, which are 10 prayers to pray for your own life. This, I have an acronym where we talk to the Holy Spirit, and I use the acronym TRUST, which are 5 prayers that I speak to the Holy Spirit on a regular basis. And the reason I like acronyms, because when I'm kind of pacing in the prayer room, again, I forget it. I forget what I'm supposed to be doing. I go, now what am I supposed to be doing here? Oh yeah, this is IHOP. This is a prayer room, okay. What am I supposed to be praying for? No one's on the microphone. It's worship, so I worship. Oh yeah, pray for me. Pray for me, okay. Lord, help me. Now come on, you can do better than that, Mike. Help me, just give me stuff. Help me. Ah, fellowship, F-E-L-O. That's why I have acronyms. It kind of gets me going. The same thing I do with this trust acronym. When I want to talk to the Holy Spirit, I don't always need it, but it's always good to have it there. 2 Corinthians 13:14. Paul uses the phrase that we fellowship with the Holy Spirit. We are called to develop a friendship with the Holy Spirit who lives inside of our spirit. It's the most remarkable thing. Alan Hood was talking about it last night, that the Holy of Holies lives in the human spirit. Beloved, this is remarkable because the Holy of Holies used to be a little room about 15 feet by 15 feet by 15 feet. It was a cubed room. It was in the Jewish temple. There was one little room where a ball of fire called the Shekinah glory of God dwelt. In this little room, there was this, like the burning bush of Moses, that Shekinah glory. It's called the Shekinah glory. It's like this ball of fire, which was God himself, was in this little room called the Holy of Holies. It was in the temple, in this sacred room. It was the only place in the earth where the glory of God dwelt continually in one little room. And once a year, the high priest could go in that room only one time a year on the special day, and he saw that Shekinah glory, that burning bush, like, oh. And he saw the glory of God, and he would come out, and people would say, what's it like, what's it like? And the power of God, he would feel it. What an amazing reality, that high priest. They would put a rope on the high priest's ankle, and he would go into that private room. He's the only person in the earth that could go into it one time a year, and he had bells on the bottom of his robe, and they would hear it, the bells moving. Because if he went in that room and he was not right with God, he would be struck dead and they would have to drag him out. How would you like to go into that room? Like, well, I think I'll skip this year, maybe next year. Beloved, that glory of God that was in that room is now dwelling inside your spirit. The Holy of Holies is in your belly, if you want to say it in a funny way. It's in the human spirit. It's right here. Now, when we have a resurrected body, we will be so in touch with this forever and forever, but we can be in touch with it right now. The day you're born again, God himself came to live in you, and you connected to him in the most intimate way possible, but most believers spend their entire life never talking to the God that lives in them. I don't mean talking to themselves. They're not God like Eastern religions. That's deception. I'm talking about not talking into the great mysterious void on the inside like Buddhism. I'm talking about we are communicating with a real person, God the Holy Spirit, who really lives in our spirit the day we're born again. But again, many believers go 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years, and they never develop a friendship with God in their spirit. And I find this to be the most dynamic principle of the spiritual life. Fellowshipping, or having a dialogue. What is fellowship? When you fellowship with your friend, what do? You talk to each other. You share your hearts. I mean, fellowship is more than that, but that's the core meaning of fellowship. You talk to each other and you share your hearts. Paul said you can do that to the Holy Spirit. We can talk to him often. Now, I have here at the paragraph A, the prayer that I use the most, when I don't use the trust, the acronym T-R-U-S-T, if I want to just make it abbreviated, which I do, I have an abbreviated prayer. I have it written right here. I talk to God in my spirit. I picture this burning light. I picture the burning bush of Moses. Did you see that movie where Ten Commandments, that old movie, where Moses sees the burning bush and the bush doesn't consume that, you know, the music, you know, it feels like the bush is breathing, you know, you're like, that's in your spirit right here. So I close my eyes and I talk to this Shekinah glory, this being called God, the Holy Spirit, like the burning bush. I picture it as a bright light, a burning fire. It's invisible. It's not physical. It's spiritual. But he's in my belly. It's what Jesus said in the King James language. Out of your belly flows rivers of living water, meaning your spirit, your innermost man. Here's what I'll say to him. My simplest prayer, I say to him, I close my eyes. I look at that burning light. I call him living flame of love. That's one of my favorite statements. I say living flame of love. That's just a name I talk to the Holy Spirit in. I got it from a book from one of those guys years ago. I go, ooh, I love that phrase. I read it years ago. I stole that phrase from him. St. John of the Cross. And I look at it, I go, living flame of love. I love to say that title to him. And I say to him, let me see what you see. Let me feel what you feel. About, and then I can ask him one of 1,000 subjects. I go, Holy Spirit, let me see what you see. Like getting ready for this meeting. I'm praying for this meeting. You know, it's early in the morning. I'm laying in my bed. I wake up, and I just say, Holy Spirit, just sitting there. Lying there. Before I even start, I go, let me see what you see and feel what you feel about the gathering today that I'm going to be in. I want to see what he sees. The Holy Spirit sees something right now and he feels something. I want to see a little bit of it. I want to feel a little bit about it. You can ask that question about 1,000 subjects. Here's my favorite subject. My favorite subject is this one. I say, Holy Spirit, let me see what you see. I talk right to him. Let me feel what you feel about my favorite subject, about Mike Bickle. I go, I want to see what you see about me. What do you see about me? What do you feel about me? And the Holy Spirit, I don't hear words, and I don't get an answer that minute. I may not get an answer. A phrase might hit me a week later. It may be a week or two or three, but I keep the dialogue going. I go, tell me what you see when you see me. Ooh, I love it. Talk to me about me. You know what? Many of you have never asked him what he thinks or sees about you, and that's why you can't see it or feel it. He would say, I'm willing to talk, but I'm not going to make you talk to me. He is such, the way he leads the relationship, he says, I will only talk to you if you start the conversation. I will only talk to you, and that word only, I'm going to qualify that in a minute. That's not the right word. I'll say, usually the Holy Spirit will only talk to you if you start the conversation. So he's on the inside of you. He's going, I'm waiting, Mike. I'll talk about anything you want to talk about. I'm waiting. I won't talk until you talk. But if you talk, I will keep talking. What do you want to know about? I want to know about what you think about me. Okay? Anything else you want to know about? I love to ask the Lord this. I go, Lord, let me see what you see and feel what you feel about Diane, my wife. I want to know what you feel about her. About my sons, Luke and Paul. my daughters-in-law, Julianne and Ricky, my grandchildren. I want to know what you see and feel. And I pray for Alan Hood. I go, Lord, let me see what you see about Alan Hood. I want to feel what you feel about the meeting. Let's change subjects. Maybe it's not your family. Maybe it's not your worship team. About your parents. Maybe it's about your school. Ask him, I want to see what you see and feel what you feel about my campus. He has much to say about your campus. Did you know that? He has many ideas about your campus. About your future spouse. Now, don't overdo it and say, tell me their name. He says, no. We're going to wait on that. Oh, give me their initials. No, we're not going there. But I'll tell you what I feel about that person. I really like that person. So make sure you wait until I lead you because I really like that person. And you're really going to like that person. Okay, back to the main subject. I ask the Lord, don't limit it to people. Ask him about your finances. You say, what finances? I only have $10 a week. Well, ask him about your $10 a week. Holy Spirit, what do you see and feel about my money? Talk to me about my money. I ask the Lord about my physical body. I say, Lord, I want more energy. I want to eat better. I want more health. Tell me things about my body that you see. He will tell you things. He really will. He will tell you how to have more energy and have more health. He'll give you tips. An idea will come to you maybe a week or a month later, and that idea, you'll try it, and all of a sudden you'll feel different. He'd say, I would have told you that a long time ago if you'd have asked me. Maybe you're in a conflict with a friend. Instead of just arguing with your friend, Holy Spirit, what do you see and what do you feel about the conflict? Talk to me. About your future. About your car. Your money. Your roommate at college. There's 1,000 subjects. There is no end to it. He will talk to you about everything. Beloved, I got good news. He knows everything. Everything about every, he knows everything about everyone, everything. And he's willing to talk. But he says, I won't start the conversation until you do. And one reason many people never get information from him, they never start the conversation. Now, having said that, if he does start the conversation, that's usually not good news. When I think through the years, there's a few times where he started the conversation and not me, because the rule of the kingdom is we start the conversation and he will continue it as long as you keep it going. But there's a few times where I'm going along and he starts the conversation, and usually that's not good. It's a warning. You really better not do that. That's your conscience. Whoa. When he starts, sometimes it's positive, but more times than not, it's a warning. But 99% of the time, I believe this, he will talk only if you start it. And he will talk about any subject you want to talk about. I don't like my hair. I want it to be different. What do you feel about my hair? He has opinions. He can actually talk to you. I mean about everything. There is no subject too small. There is no subject too small. Again, he may not tell you within the hour. He may tell you a week later, a month later. It will be an impression. An idea will come to you. And you don't have to go tell everybody, God told me this, God told me that. He's counseling you through every single issue of your life. Holy Spirit, I get depressed. I get this negative feeling. I was in that meeting yesterday, and I felt rejected, and I felt angry. Instead of just talk to him. Say, why did I feel rejected? Why did I feel angry? Tell me what you saw yesterday. And the Holy Spirit says, I wanted you to ask me that years ago. I would have told you. And the reason I haven't told you, you've never asked me. People live in a ball of anger, fear, and frustration, and they got the greatest counselor on the inside, who is God, who is in Genesis 1, hovering over the earth to create. He has all power. He has all wisdom. He loves you. He's on the inside of you. He can help you figure out your frustrations, your bitterness, your anger, but he won't if you don't ask him. He says, oh, I have so much to tell you. Please ask me. Well, no one ever told me I could. Well, now You know you can. Paragraph B. I have two ways. I focus my mind when I'm speaking to God. Two different ways. Number one, I mentioned it in the last session. I talk to God on his throne, Revelation 4. God on the throne. And I really urge you to take Revelation 4 and break it down. I have a book called Passion for Jesus where I spend a couple chapters, God on the throne. And I got a bunch of that on our website too and other teachers as well. What does the throne of God look like? Because God wanted us to have some scene of which we direct our mind when we talk to him. Our Father who art in heaven, the scene is described in Revelation 4. There's 15 different facets described around the throne of God, and I've studied them. I don't know them that well, but my point is I put some energy on it because I want to know who I'm talking to and what the setting is. I don't like talking to the air. That doesn't get me going. I like to talk to a person. I can see where he's at, and I can't see it well, but a little bit. Or, secondly, I talk to that flaming fire inside my belly, inside my spirit. And again, I picture like the burning bush on the inside. I turn my attention inwardly sometimes, and I turn my attention outwardly. But again, so you don't get it confused with Eastern religion, they turn their, or New Age, they turn their attention inwardly to themselves. I don't buy all that. You know, in yourself is this, that. There's nothing but death in there except the Holy Spirit bringing life to us. Paragraph D. I'll say this before we do paragraph D. You know, the Bible tells us to walk in the Spirit. Several times in Galatians, other places, walk in the Spirit. I don't have this in the notes. But it's a phrase I've said many times. I just comes to mind when I throw it to you. You will not walk in the Spirit any more than you talk to the Spirit. If you will talk to the Spirit, you will walk under his inspiration far more. And so people ask me, how do you walk in the Spirit? I go, it's actually quite simple. It is so simple anybody can do it, but it's so simple so few do. I go, walking in the Spirit seems so mysterious. It really means walking under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit's leadership. How do I walk under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit? Talk to him. If you talk to the Spirit, you will walk in the Spirit. There's a little bit more, but if you talk to him, it will all take care of itself. It will all happen. It's like the verse in John 15 where Jesus says, abide in me. I've taken the word abide out, and I put the word talk. Talk to me, and I will talk to you. Abide in me means a little more than that, but if you talk to him, you will be in the beginning stages of abiding. I say, don't be so, it's not so mysterious, you guys. You know, young people are just like, I don't know how to abide in him. How do I, like, abide? Like, how do I abide in the vine? I don't know how to get there. I talk to him inside you. The Holy Spirit, which is Jesus. It's the Holy Spirit representing the mind of Jesus, communicating what's in Jesus' heart to us. Because he comes to glorify Jesus. Paragraph D. Now the scripture describes the Holy Spirit's work in us as light, fire, or a river. And there's other descriptions. This is just the beginning, an introduction. So he's in us like a bright light. He's in us like a consuming fire. And he's in us like a flowing river. Those are different terms that you will find in the scripture. And you can read that on your own if you want. Look at some of those verses and think on that. Paragraph E. Alan said this brilliant last night, in essence. The greatest inheritance you have in all of your life is the Holy Spirit living in your spirit, touching your heart. The one thing you will have forever is your heart. I mean, we'll have a body forever, but it will be a resurrected body. But beloved, your heart connecting with God's heart is the most precious possession you will ever possess now and billions of years from now. You will have it forever. That's why Proverbs 4 says, keep your heart with all diligence. Out of your heart flows the issues of life, meaning To keep your heart means to watch over it. Make sure your heart is in connection with God. With all diligence, don't get too busy where you don't have time to talk to God. Don't get into areas where your heart gets defiled. Keep your heart, which means keep your heart in connection with God, in agreement with God. Out of it will flow life, which means the power of the presence of God. You will feel joy. You'll feel inspiration. You'll have His favor. The most precious possession you have is your heart connected with the Spirit. We must talk to the Spirit more. I mean, to think, again, how many people I know have gone decades never, ever talking to God within. Just, they love Jesus. They, you know, every now and then they'll stop and have a 10-minute prayer time. And they live frustrated. They live barren spiritually. They have regrets. They wish they would live on fire for God. They go, oh, well, you know me, I'm just weak. And I go, no, it's more than that. It's not that you're just weak. Don't write yourself off as weak. Slow down your schedule. Talk to the Spirit. You'll start walking in the Spirit. And in this way, you will keep your heart alive. And the issues of life, favor and joy and peace and divine wisdom will flow out of you little by little. Top of page 71. I'm going to look at five. Well, let's go back. I'm sorry. I went too fast. Go back to F. I saw this verse. Psalm 131, verse 2. David calmed and quieted his soul. Now, that's Old Testament, but the same principle is in the New Testament. There is a decision we make to quiet our soul. Well, we're going 100 miles an hour. We're in the middle. We're at school. We're on the, you know, in the worship team, on the football team. We're involved in the marketplace, working at Starbucks, you know, going to classes, running a ministry, dating somebody, figuring out problems at home, trying to make life work. And we're going 100 miles an hour. You know, it's like so many have said, Facebooking ourselves to death, always every nine conversations going on, managing life, running late, so speeding to the next meeting, just constantly in a turmoil all the time. And I love what Misty said. Turn off some of that stuff. Let God inside the conversation instead of just conversing with everybody that's willing to converse with you. Settle your soul down. Quiet it. It is a decision. David knew the secret. David said, I have to quiet things. I have to shut the door, turn the phone off, turn the equipment off, turn the TV off, turn the iPhone off, turn it off, quiet my soul. I have to, or I won't connect. And I promise you, if you don't quiet yourself, you can't stay connected because you have conversation. The media is hitting you in 100 ways, and all the Facebook-type things, whatever, the 20 different ways they do it, the communication never stops, and God's saying, I live in you. I really want to be in the conversation. I have a lot to say. If you would talk to me, I have much to tell you, much to bless you with, much to surprise you with. But you won't let me in the conversation. I am God. I can get in if I want to, but I'm a God of love. I only want to talk to you if you want to talk to me. If you don't want to talk to me, I will wait patiently. I will wait for decades. But you will lose so much if you don't let me in the conversation. And because the relationship is love, I won't force myself in because I can easily force myself if I want to, but I won't. So he waits, and David understood this. So David said, I quiet myself. I turn off all the equipment. I mean, he's running the kingdom. He's running the army. He's running the finances. He is, I mean, talking about a big job description. He says, nope, we're laying that down. We're laying this aside. Can you imagine the man that was the president of the nation, the king, and running the army virtually? I mean, he had, you know, generals under him. He was the man that said, this one thing I do all the days of my life, I gaze on his beauty. I mean, he had a massive job running the entire nation, running the army. But he said, I quiet my soul and I gaze on God. Psalm 27:4, you know, the theme verse of IHOP. That means I shut things down and I talk to him. Now we gaze outwardly to the throne, when we read our Bible and we talk to him on the throne, or we gaze inwardly to God, the Holy Spirit on the inside. But either way we go, we have to quiet ourselves, because God will not quiet us. He says, I won't break in if you don't want to talk. But I really have so much to tell you about so many things that you are interested in. We have to dial down, I have written here. Emotionally, take the foot off the gas pedal in our soul. I mean, slow the whole thing down. Take a couple deep breaths and say, Holy Spirit, you still there? You still there? I haven't talked to you for a while. You still there? And he says, yeah, I'm still here. I'm patient. I love you so much. I will be with you forever, but I would love to talk to you more. I really would. You can lay in your bed at night. You can be on the bus. You could be on the train. You could be in a car. You can be in the back seat with three people in the front. I mean, three people in the car talking the whole time. And you could be back there communing with the Holy Spirit. I'm in staff meetings sometimes, and different ones are talking, and I'm just sitting there, and I'm talking to the Holy Spirit saying, let me see what you see and feel what you feel about what this guy's saying. Let me see what you see and feel what you feel about this meeting. You could be going from one meeting to another. I could be in a meeting, I'm walking 3 or 4 minutes to another meeting, and I'm talking to the Holy Spirit on the way. It doesn't take an hour every day to set aside. You could take 90-second, 3-minute little time snapshots, so to speak, grab them, talk to him everywhere that you go. And then sometimes when you have your prayer time scheduled, you might do it for 30 minutes. You might do it for 10 minutes. You might do it for an hour. When I drive from IHOP to our FCF building, when I'm driving alone, I'll drive there because sometimes we carpool because our parking lot's so small. 5 minutes, I'll talk to the Holy Spirit coming and going. I try to, in every little 5-minute, 2-minute exchange, I try to talk to him about the next thing I'm doing. I say, let me see what you see. What are you feeling about where I'm going? What are you feeling right now about what I'm doing? Is there anything you want to tell me? And I look at that light. I'm driving down the road, but in my mind's eye, I'm looking at that light, and I calm myself. Everything's off in the car, no noise, maybe some real soft, like kind of instrumental sometimes. Because I want to talk to him. It is such a rich way to live. And every one of you can do it. You can wake up doing it all throughout the day, 10 seconds, 20 seconds, 30 seconds, 2 minutes, 3 minute little conversation, little sound bites. Paragraph G. Now, as we linger in his presence, which means our mind is focused on him. That's what I mean by linger. We're not in a hurry. Again, maybe only 2 or 3 minutes, maybe 30 minutes. Number one, we speak affectionately to him. Like every few moments, I'll be asking him, tell me what you see, tell me what you feel. But I'll stop and I'll say, I love you. I love to speak affectionately to the Holy Spirit. I'll just say, I love you. I love your presence. So speak affectionately. I don't mean the whole thing, but just every now and then, tell him how you feel about him. He really likes it when you like him. He didn't have a rejection spirit, but he really likes it when you like him, because that is going to make you great, and he loves it when you enter into your fullness. When you love his presence and you glorify Jesus, well, that's good enough in itself. That's the ultimate. But he also loves you, and he knows that's the path to your life. That's secondary, but that's still real. When you talk to him, speak slowly. In other words, don't do rapid-fire prayer. Holy Spirit, I need some information right now. Holy Spirit, I need some power. I know you bring it, and tell me what I need to do. I need to bring it a revelation and dreams and vision and prophetic spirit. Don't do rapid-fire. Dial down. Now, I'm rapid-fire. I talk fast. I talk hard, I talk a lot, but when you talk to the Holy Spirit, talk slow. You will feel so much more. I encourage people when they pray on the microphone, like in the IHOP, I encourage them to typically pray slower, pray a little softer, not just to shout everything. I said, you will feel so much more if you will just dial down a little bit, because you know, in our early days, all my prayer, I would just like rapid fire prayer and shout every prayer, and all of the folks around, everyone kind of adopted that, and that kind of became the style for a while. And then I said, I want to challenge you. I started praying on the microphone somewhat like I did with the Holy Spirit. I would begin to pray softer and slower. And I feel so much more when I'm praying, even praying for revival. I did what I did in my spirit time with the Holy Spirit. I began to do it on the microphone. And I tell you, if you go a little slower and a little calmer, you will feel more at every level, whether you're worshiping, whether you're praying for revival, you're praying for your family, whether you're talking to the Spirit, because there's that, I don't know what it is, I kind of breathe. I feel that kind of breathing. I feel His presence more. And I'm a rapid fire guy. I'm a kind of guy. But when I take my foot off the gas pedal, I feel so much more when I go slower and just a little bit softer when I'm talking to God. I recommend it. A guy with my personality, that's big. When a guy, because again, I'm a fast, loud, hard talker. But when I talk to God and I pull that thing back a little bit, talk softly. You don't shout at the indwelling Spirit. Holy Spirit, I really want your presence. Please come and give me your presence. He'd be go, okay, I will. He speaks with whispers on the inside. Now you can shout at him. He didn't mind, but I'm just being practical. Briefly, don't, as a rule, you might have that one day. I talk in phrases, not paragraphs. Meaning I'll give a sentence or a phrase and pause. Sentence or a phrase and pause. Meaning not a 25-minute prayer. I don't want a monologue. I want a dialogue. I mean, there are times you might talk for 5 straight minutes. I've never done that to the Holy Spirit. I talk in just phrases, and I pause and pause, and I gaze into that bright light. Again, I'm talking about God, the Holy Spirit, not Buddhism, not Eastern religion, not the light that's in all man. There is no light in man except for God, the Holy Spirit lives in him. I talk minimally, talk much less. I mean, listen much more than you talk. Many pauses. I'm saying the same thing over and over. I pray with my spirit. I'll pray in my prayer language, the gift of tongues, the devotional gift of tongues, some. But don't do that for 40 straight minutes when you're talking to the Holy Spirit. Just a little bit here and there. Put in some I love yous. Let me see what you see. Gaze at that light. Sometimes I'll just sigh or I'll groan in my spirit. Oh. And I don't mean I do it as a mechanism. It's natural. The Bible talks about in Romans 8, the Spirit groans in you with 2 deep 4 words. I don't mean I create it, but I'll feel that sigh, and I'll talk to Him, and I'll say, I love you. And that gaze of your mind to your spirit, it opens your heart and your spirit up in a certain way. You will feel more over time. Gaze in silence, where you're just staring at that flame of fire, that Shekinah glory, that burning bush within, and maybe you won't say anything for 2, 3, 4, 5 minutes. You're gazing. And then whatever you do, I'm not every time, but mostly I like to have a notepad. When I do that, if I'm going to do it for like 20, 30, 40 minutes, I want a notepad because your phrases will come to you. And it's not always phrases of even the subject you're talking about. Maybe God's answering something that I asked about a month ago. Phrases come and I write down phrases. Journal. I don't mean write down pages and pages and pages, but phrases that come to you, write them down. Capture what the Spirit drops in your spirit. Capture what the Holy Spirit drops in your spirit. Okay, let's look at page 71. Just a few more moments here. Let's look at this acronym. Trust. T-R-U-S-T. Again, when I say, let me see what you see and feel what you feel, that's my simple version that I just pray in 10 and 20 second sound bites and 90 second sound bites, or driving for 3 minutes somewhere, standing in line somewhere, I just pray that. I just a great prayer. I'll pray that walking from here to the information meeting. I'll just pray in my spirit. Even people around me talking, I'll just say, let me see what you see. I'm going to go talk to the youth pastors. Let me feel what you feel about them. I'll just say that 3 times in a 2-minute walk, even while people are talking. I just love that connection feeling. It's a great feeling. T, trust. As I go through trust, T, I look at him. So I start with thank you. I simply recognize he's there. Thank you that you're there. Thank you. This is You didn't have to come. I don't say that, but thank you. I love you. I love your leadership. I don't even say that much at a time. I even put pauses in that. I'll just say, thank you, and I'll pause. 10, 15 seconds. And I'll say, I love your leadership. I'm gazing at that light. I mean, 10 or 15 seconds. I don't have a time I count, but my point is, it's slow. It's soft. It's because your spirit is calm. You're quieting your spirit. You're not just quieting your spirit by turning everything off. You're slowing down the pace of the engine on the inside. Your soul moving so fast. You're slowing it down because he whispers. That's what Elijah found out in 1 Kings 19. You know, he saw the thunder. I mean, the earthquake and the storm. And the power of God breaking in. But God, in 1 Kings 19, God whispered to Elijah. Elijah said, God's in the small whisper. He whispers in our spirit. Little faint impressions. That's why you slow down everything. You'll feel the impressions if you slow down the inward kind of activity. And so I'll say, thank you. That's how I start off. Then R, I ask him to release the realm of revelation. And what I mean by the realm of revelation, the glory realm. I'm not talking about insight into the Bible. I'm going to talk about that. That's later on down at T when I ask him to teach me. But on this R, I say, I want to see the realm of glory. I want to see the realm of the throne and the angels. Lord, usher me into the realm where the chariot of fire of Elijah went. I want to see the glory realm. Moses said, I want to see your glory. I want to peer into it. I go, Holy Spirit, you know that realm better than anybody. Show me the Father and the Son. Not just information about them from the Bible. Again, I do that one down at the other level T, letter T at the fifth letter. I want to touch the realm of the glory. Open my eyes. It's what Elisha said when his servant was there. The servant goes, oh no, they were surrounded by all these enemy guys. And Elisha said, what are you worried about? He goes, we're surrounded by these armies. He goes, Lord, open this poor guy's eyes, and his servant's eyes opened up, and the hills were filled with angels on chariots, fire, and horses. And the servant went, whoa, there's millions of them. And Elisha said, don't worry, we're okay. We're surrounded by this army. We're fine. I want to see that realm of glory. So I love R. I go, show me the realm of glory. Show me the glory of your heart. Show me what you showed Moses. You, I say, use me. Use me in the Holy Spirit. Give me impressions. Give me words of knowledge. Give me little phrases to prophesy to people. Use me. Because the Bible says, 1 Corinthians 12, the manifestation of the Spirit is for everyone. Every one of us have the Holy Spirit living in us. He will give you phrases. The problem is, most of us don't ask for the phrases. And when the phrases come, we ignore them because they're so gentle, we don't think they're anything. We just overlook them. I think Wes is going to be talking on that tonight, how to operate in the gifts of the Spirit. That's one of his subjects. Letter S, strengthen me. You know, in my last session, I talked about fellowship, those 10 things. I have 10 prayers that I pray to strengthen my spirit. Now, when I talk to the Holy Spirit, I don't go through all 10 of them. Sometimes I'll slip one or two of them in. But typically, I'll just say, strengthen my spirit with might. Ephesians 3, 16. Strengthen my spirit with might, Holy Spirit. Now, here's a very important point. Very important point I have written down there. We recognize that the fruit of the Spirit are already in us. That's very important. This will be new to some of you. It says in Galatians 5, I have the verse on the notes, that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control. There's 9 fruit of the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, 22, it's all there. The verse is there. There are 9 fruit of the Spirit, which are meaning there are 9 different virtues that are in the Holy Spirit's character that he wants to manifest in our character. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, and self-control, etc. I don't ask him for peace. I don't say so much give me peace. Because the Holy Spirit's in me, I thank him for the peace that's there. I put my mind on the Spirit. I say, thank you for peace. I don't beg him. I don't go to the throne, give me peace, give me peace, give me peace. The Holy Spirit says, I'm inside you. I have a lot of it. Talk to me. I will strengthen your emotions with peace if you will simply recognize I'm there. So I'll get in a turmoil, or I'll get in stirred up, and I'll pause and I'll look at the Holy Spirit and say, thank you for peace. Not give me peace. It's already in my spirit. You're there. You're not a symbol. You're really in me, Holy Spirit. You're really there. I go, thank you for peace. So somebody will come and maybe I'll get frustrated, I'll get angry. Instead of going with that, I'll pause. I mean, sometimes I go with it and then I have to repent. But what I'll do many times is I'll pause even while the person is saying these negative things. And I want to say negative things back, and sometimes I do. And again, then I have to repent. That's nothing wrong. You blow it, repent. But many times they'll be venting and something, and I'll feel my natural sinful emotion. I'll stop because I do this in my private life with the Holy Spirit. I talk to him, I want to say a lot, but I need to talk to him a lot more, so I want to say it that way. And I'll just say, Holy Spirit, thank you for peace. I'm not asking for it. I'm thanking you, and it's already in me. Then I will feel peace come into my emotions. Oh, it's a beautiful, it's supernatural. It's supernatural. Or you'll be tempted with something. I'll say, thank you for self-control. It's in me. It's in me. Thank you. It's already in me right now. Thank you, Holy Spirit. And so when I ask him to strengthen, I'm asking him to strengthen my emotions and my mind, my whole inner man. Strengthen me with divine might. I mean, imagine the might of God is already inside of you. The might of God. What is that? That's power. So I'll say, strengthen me. Strengthen my mind, emotion, will. Strengthen my inner man with the power that's in me. Oh, I love that prayer. I love to say that to him. Letter T, the final one. I ask him to teach me. You can ask the Holy Spirit to teach you about everything. He knows everything about every subject. I mean, can you imagine a counselor who knows everything living in you, who wants to talk and just waits for you to ask? He goes, I can tell you about anything. I can tell you about math. I can tell you about science. I'm not telling you that he'll give you information without you studying. That's not the point I'm saying, where you skip your study and you ask him for that information. I'm just saying he knows every subject under the sun, and he will give you thoughts of that you created thoughts you can't even imagine if you ask him for them. I ask him three things. Teach me your word. I want to know. I want to understand Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. I want to understand Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. I want to understand Romans, Galatians, Ephesians. I want to understand the book of Revelation. He says, ask me. Open the Bible. Ask me to teach you that verse, that book. So when I read Galatians, I'll open it up, and I'm going to talk to Jesus in Galatians. I'm going to go, whatever verses tell me to obey, I'm going to talk to Jesus and commit to obey. Whatever verses tell me to believe that he loves me, I'm going to thank him for it. I'm going to talk to the Holy Spirit, or I'm going to talk to the Father or the Son on the throne, or the Holy Spirit in my spirit. And I kind of go back and forth, and I just have a good old time talking to the Father and talking to the Spirit, and it's a good old time. And I'll be reading the book of Galatians. I'll say, teach me the book of Galatians. Do you know the book of Galatians, Holy Spirit? I thought you did. Teach it to me. He'll teach you all about the word. He'll teach you about his will. He'll tell you his will for your life. If you ask for his will today, you may not get the impression, again, for a few weeks or a few months, but you will find his will. It will come to you. It will become clear to you. I don't always get it immediately, but it does come eventually. I ask him about his ways. You know, how do you want me to run my family? How do you want me to run my ministry? How do you want me to run my life? How do you want me to manage my finances? How should I steward my physical body? How should I maintain relationships? How should I relate to the neighbor next door who bugs me because their dog barks? What should I tell him? How can I make that dog stop barking? Go give your neighbor a gift and love on them, develop a relationship, and you never know where that might go. Haven't done that, just thought of it just now. Okay, anyway, that's a good idea. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Look at that, John 14, 26. He'll teach you all things, not just Bible truth. He'll teach you all the areas of your life. He will bring the truths of the Bible to all the areas of your life. He will guide you into all the truth. Here's one of my favorite subjects, too. I got about 10 favorite subjects when I ask the Holy Spirit. One of them's me, I already told you, but here's one I really like. I go, Holy Spirit, teach me about. I go, Holy Spirit, let me see what you see and feel what you feel about the Holy Spirit. How do you feel about you? Teach me about you. And the Holy Spirit might say, ooh, I like that question. Some of you have never asked the Holy Spirit to teach you about the Holy Spirit, and He has so much to tell you about His ministry. If you were interested to know, you might read a book about it, but why not talk to Him? He's inside. He goes, I can tell you a lot more than that book. Give me a chance. Here's another one I love. Oh, I love this one. I go, Holy Spirit, what do you see? What do you feel about Jesus? I can just imagine. He goes, ooh, that's my favorite. How do you feel about Jesus? Let me feel what you feel. Let me see what you see about Jesus. Beloved, you could pray that prayer thousands of times in this life and billions of times in the age to come. You will never exhaust what He would tell you if you asked Him that. Now I ask Him, I have here still under T, ask the Holy Spirit to manifest His leadership every area of your life. Your finances, your schedule, your circumstances, why your emotions are high, why they're low, why you're happy, why you're sad. Ask about your body, your diet, your health, what to eat, what not to eat, relationships, or alignment of people. Like, Lord, how is our leadership team? Because I'm over people in leadership, or in my family, in the office, in the ministry, in my home. Help me to understand the alignment of how people should relate to each other and to me when I have influence on it. Show me how people are better aligned. And the Lord might whisper, there's a better alignment, but you've never asked me. I can show you how to, this guy over here, that guy over there, they'll be far more effective, but you never asked me. But now that you have asked me, I'll tell you. And again, ideas will come. Then I'll say, well, Holy Spirit, now that I have this wisdom, what's the best way for me to implement it? And the Holy Spirit might say, ooh, I'm glad you asked me that. Because just because I told you there's a change that would be better for this guy or that guy, now you need to know the way to make the change. Holy Spirit, how should I do this? How should I make this change? When should I make it? Beloved, you can ask about everything. There's so much to talk about. Now look at this verse here. I'm going to say something that's going to startle you. I'm going to say it on purpose, kind of wake you up even though we're at the end of the session here. I'll read the verse first. The anointing abides in you. You do not need that anyone teach you. But as the same anointing, the anointing means the presence of the Holy Spirit. That's what the anointing means. As the anointing teaches you concerning everything, all things. Now here's the startling statement I want to say. My favorite Bible teacher in the whole world is me. And your favorite Bible teacher is you. What I mean by that is this. If you will talk to the Holy Spirit as you read the Bible, like I said, you will get more impressions and you will get more inspiration. You'll be taught by many others, but the Holy Spirit lives in you and He tailor makes the Bible to your understanding. I don't mean He changes it, but He addresses the Bible to in your tailor-made situation. He knows your personality. He knows your destiny. He knows your strengths. He knows your weaknesses. He knows your temptations. He knows your great opportunities. And He will teach you the Bible in a way that will make your life work. And it will come mostly out of your own lips. What I mean by it comes out of your lips. I read the Bible and I say it back to Him. And I talk to Him and I commit myself to obey. And I ask Him for revelation. And I say the truth back to Him. And when I do that, so many Bible passages, truths come to light. And I write, and I write, and in my prayer time, I journal, and I get more insight from that. But this would be true for every single one of us. You will get more from your own lips, talking to the Holy Spirit and to Jesus, than you will get from others. You will still learn much from others. But you will learn more by you talking to the Spirit with an open Bible, journaling, than you will ever learn from anybody if you will activate the process. The best teacher in the body of Christ for you actually is the Spirit living in you, and the truth will come out of your own lips as you say it to Him over the years. I have pages and pages, I mean thousands of pages of journaled notes. And most all of my Bible teaching, though I study many commentaries, I study many other sources, the best things that have touched me have come out of my own lips that I say to God. It surprises me. I'll say some phrase I'm committing myself to obey, and I'll say it in some different way, and I go, oh, that's what that verse means. It's not like I say, God just told me, but He just did. I don't make a big deal that God just told me, but I don't tell other people, God just said this, but those inspirations come, and I'll say something back to Jesus, which is really just the Holy Spirit speaking through me. It comes through my own lips. I write it down, and I go, I could have never figured that out. And the Holy Spirit says, I live in you. I will teach you. I will teach you Galatians. I will teach you Ephesians. I'll teach you life management. I'll teach you how to have a good marriage. I'll teach you how to raise your children. I'll teach you how to steward your finances. I'll teach you how to have conflict, solve conflict with your friends. I'll teach you how to say no to people even when they're disappointed. And I'll teach you how to manage it when they're mad at you when you say no. I will teach you everything if you just ask me. Amen. Let's stand.
For more free downloads from Mike Bickle, please visit mikebickle.org.